When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. It's season 6. We're rocking and rolling. Are you excited?
It is season 6. I almost forgot.
I am the great and powerful
Mr. E.
You're scaring us, mister. I'm J Clone 71.
Beep, boom, boom. 71's been coming in a lot lately.
Sound like the 70s.
Mood. 70s.
Yeah.
And who are we joined tonight by?
Ooh, we're joined by a vendor that vends at a lot of the same festivals we go to.
Much of his art is hanging up in my house.
That is true. Multiple prints. We met him at Frogman Fest 2023, the very first Frogman Fest.
Yeah, he was right next to us.
Yeah. And now he's joining us on our show, Star Cruiser Studios, Jeff Collins.
Woo! Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Thanks for coming on, Jeff.
It's great. It's great to be here. I've been talking to you guys for a while now about getting on this show.
You can stop harassing me.
What's that?
I said you can stop harassing me and make me feel bad.
I got on. Yeah.
Finally.
No,
right.
You mentioned Frogman, Jay.
Yeah.
And you remember how many times we tripped over that one print?
Well, I kept knocking it over?
Well, we both did.
Oh, okay. But you kept blaming me.
You did the most.
Well,
I didn't do it till the end, and I was kind of getting tipsy.
Oh, here's the excuses.
Well, I mean, I don't wobble until I weeble.
Okay, fair enough.
No, yeah, so
you guys are pretty cute over there. I remember you were next to me and you were fighting like a married couple. I said, I love these guys.
Man. Hasn't
you
stopped.
Guys are great.
No, that's a fun festival. Looking forward to the next year.
Yeah.
Good one. Really good.
So please, before we get rocking and rolling, just shout out your socials where people can buy your art. Now, everybody at home, like I said, I think I have most of your pieces, including the brand new Ohio map that you just came out with, which, you know, it's Ohio people. I'm not saying we helped, but we may have helped, wink, wink. And, you know, my one problem with the map, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
It's great.
So you can find my stuff. You can buy my stuff on my website. It's starcruiserstudios.com. And I've got most of my prints there and some other fun stuff. I'm constantly updating that. And then you can find me on Instagram at starcruiserstudios. Where you can see me updating when I do new things. And I try to post something every day, something fun, usually a sketch. So that's where I'm at.
And you do not to butter you up too much, I do love your art style.
Thank you.
That old, you do maps and you do like individual prints and all that. But that, I don't know what you call it, that acid wash paper or burnt paper, old paper.
Yeah, it looks
parchment.
Parchment,
thank you.
Old parchment, yep.
Yeah,
yeah. Just looks like old print, like Just like something you'd find in an old book when you peel it open.
So when you get the monsters,
yeah,
like the squonks in the bathroom, there's several other cryptids, and like the Van Meter Visitor one, I love. It feels like it's pulled off of a old newspaper.
Yeah, like a 1950s paper. Yeah.
Like you just like...
Yeah, so that was kind of my, the intention with this style. You know, I thought about it a few years back about something that would look as if it came from like an old dime novel or an old newspaper article. You know, I kind of had this idea of, you know, when I was a kid digging through my grandparents' attic, like an old trunk, and finding some old articles or something like from the movie Goonies when they find the map, like that kind of vibe, something that gives things like this history. And, you know, they're a little bit worn and antiqued, if you will. Yep.
100%. It really feels like it. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Grimm.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not the same art style, but the old books and finding the Vesson. It's like, that's what I expect them to open on. I'm watching it with my wife through.
Right.
It's her first time. I've watched it 100 times. I just keep expecting to open the Book of Vesson and just see your squonk page or something flop through there. Because that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's got that. It's like a Victorian style. They used to do things with like woodblock. They would carve woodblocks and print that way. So I do it in pen and ink. The originals are done that way, but it has that look and feel of, you know, like old woodblock artwork.
And you're an artist by trade.
Right.
But what made you, I guess, kind of pick cryptids or the paranormal? Because you do, like, you had Crybaby Bridges and, you know, all this fun stuff.
Yep. So originally, you know, I've always drawn weird creatures, and I'm into sci-fi too a little bit. But the area I live in, when I moved out there about 16 years ago, I was driving through a town called Middletown, Maryland, on the way to my house, and there was a storefront, and it was called the Snallygaster. I was like, "What in the world is that? what kind of a name is Snallygaster? You know, it sounds great. It's such a weird name."
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there, and you know, I discovered this folklore creature, which is sort of native to Maryland, where I'm from. And that that got me rolling. You know, I got into that, I drew that, I started doing more things, and it all expanded from there. But that's that was the big one that started it all for me.
The Snallygaster's always held a special place in both of our hearts.
Yeah, it's usually my answer sometimes when I'm asked what my favorite cryptid is.
The history with it, Germanic history, all in, you know, North American history, the stories with the Snallygaster stars.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
The Teddy Roosevelt and Bill, the hyena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so weird how much, you know, we've been doing this a while now and how much it keeps bouncing back. And for all of our non-Patreon listeners, it was the 2024 March Monster Madness winner.
Ooh.
Oh, we do that every the month of March is like a bracket system with cryptids and stuff like that. We pit them against each other, and it won this year. So she's retired now. But
old Snally.
But no, it's the Snally's such a weird one too. I think that's a great cryptid for people that go off the kind of the line of like the traditional meaning of cryptid with an undiscovered animal by science or one of the other two meanings. Flipping to the more weird, still biologically, I believe feasible, but you know, when you start having very tentacles strange coming out of the mouth and it's like a pterodactyl dragon, demon, drinking cow's blood. But yeah.
I also love how I like the connection with the cryptid aspect of it and then sort of the folklore, you know, where it possibly came from Germany when the Germans came over and settled the area, the farmers. And, you know, originally it was Schnellgeist, which meant quick ghost. And of course, Schnellgeist changed to Snallygaster. And all that stuff is so neat. It's one of the oldest ones we've got. And it's also contemporary. I mean, people around me are talking about it. It's really fun. The locals will have stories about telling their kids and grandkids. So it's pretty neat that it's gone through history and it's still around.
No, I love the Snallygaster.
Yeah,
it's one of those. I don't know if it's my top three, but it's definitely my top 10.
It bounces up there every now and then for me.
Yeah.
I really like
it. It's a special one.
Yeah.
But and you started doing that. So what made you kind of start designing your maps, which for anybody at home, They're absolutely amazing. And he promised, I believe, off air that he's going to do all 50 states.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, now that you bring that up, I just finished the Ohio map of
best cryptids
and folklore. And someone pretty dope helped me out with that. I think you know who I'm talking about. I actually reached out to you a few months back to get some information and some suggestions. I had some questions about some things. So I really have to thank you guys. I couldn't have done it without your help. And so we've got that map now, and I'm really excited. And I think you have one. I think you have one somewhere in your studio, right?
Not hanging up yet. I got to get a frame for it. But it's in the bin from the last you gave it to me at MonsterFest. Thank you for that again. It's amazing. I love it. I mean, it's got everything from the Octoman to Egypt Valley, you know, all these really fascinating ones. The big and the small. Like, Egypt Valley is one of these places that...
It's a weird place.
But people don't know it outside of Ohio.
Right.
Like, if you're super into this stuff...
A lot of people don't even know it in Ohio.
I know, but if you're super into this stuff, you'll know it.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You'll find stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in Ohio, like, anybody ever goes to the Salt Fork Bigfoot Conference or anything like that, Egypt Valley's right there.
Right.
Go talk to those farmers. So my brother is a handicap hunter. Luke, you don't listen to this. I keep trying to get you to listen. I hope you don't listen because I've talked about you a lot. So we were over there, and he was actually hunting in Egypt Valley for a special hunt. And I was asking the farmers about Bigfoot. And the farmers were like, you know, we had tracks one time across the property. We think they were hoax. This property, it's Egypt Valley. It is thicket and water and mountain.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we had property like about a mile across, like some kid in Bigfoot foot, like walk. Like, there's no straight path here.
Be one heck of a, that'd be a funny prank.
That's a determined kid.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys find it.
Right, yeah.
But they were starting talking about, like, it's just a haunted area or whatever you want to call hauntings or the weird, like, it's such a paranormal area. So when you had that on your map, it just tickled me. It's just one of those.
Well, I mean, I think you were the one. I think you were the one that gave me that idea.
I gave you like 80 things.
And it was on the list. It was on the list of things that you were interested in. And to add to that, what's funny is, you know, after I made the map and Egypt Valley's in there, all of a sudden people started talking to me about it. You know, I went to events and people would come up and say, "Oh, you know, I grew up and I knew about Egypt Valley." I was like, "Really? You know, I'd be in West Virginia or North Carolina, and people would be asking me about Egypt Valley." So, you know, I had never heard of it before, but I guess, you know, for the younger folks, it's kind of like a tradition to do creepy things in that area.
It's like, me and you talked about it with the hands. You remember that when we did our Halloween special, the semi-truck driver's hands?
Yes.
That are still seen going down the road. It's just the hands and the steering wheel, and some people say there's no steering wheel. But it's just it's one of those creepy places. Actually, our first conference we ever did,
mm-hmm.
our first story ever was like turning to us at a conference, not off the air or whatever,
right.
Turning to us at a conference, was a guy that had what may have been a Bigfoot encounter in Egypt Valley. And this Bigfoot, he was all shaken up. This guy did not want to be at the Bigfoot conference. You've seen those people for everybody at home.
Yeah.
You can tell people are like really into it, and you can tell people that really aren't.
And this was in 2022, right? First year?
Yeah. We started the podcast 21.
Yeah.
Our first festival, 22. Yeah. So you could just tell this guy, like, he looked like he hasn't slept in 3 days. Like, he looked like he was real shaken.
Yeah.
And he came over to us because we were, like, one of the first booths right there by the door, made a beeline right to us, was talking to us about, he's like, "I was up hunting and I was finding these deer skulls with antlers turned upside down and stuck into the mud. And it was super weird." And then he kept having bluff charges, like with a silverback gorilla. He never seen it, though. So I don't know if it was a really hidden Bigfoot, but he's like, it would get, you know, feet from me, tree shaking, you know, you could feel it rumbling at him.
And then
and then it would disappear.
I told you, too, that I ran into him again, right?
I don't, probably, but go ahead.
This, like, 3 months ago at the Bigfoot and Banjos, John Hickenbottom's
event. You ran into this guy again?
He came up to our booth. And you weren't there. You know, I just went by. It was me and Jimmy went. And yeah, I thought I told you. But
no!
This guy came up, and he's like, started talking. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, you go to Ohio Bigfoot Conference before, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you have had an encounter like, you know, in Egypt Valley with a deer skull stuck upside down, and his eyes just got really big. And I'm like, well, I've talked to you before. You told me your story back at Ohio Bigfoot Conference. You remember? He's like, oh, yeah, I do remember telling you.
He thought you were a psychic for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, I blew his mind. And then he stuck around. You've seen how quick he was to get out of that.
Yeah, no, he left immediately. That's the other thing I was going to say. Is like, after he told us, and he's like, is there any laws against killing him? And I'm like, not in this state. Well, and he's like, then he left.
I think his whole thing's changed because he stuck around and stood there with me and talked to me about an hour and a half after that.
Well,
and he was very, I think he's very...
Our buddy Greg. That was, not saying it was just our show.
Yeah.
But he had a Bigfoot encounter, and it was in Angel Valley, but he had a Bigfoot encounter. And just like me and my family felt, you know, it was horrible. I didn't want to talk about it now. Now, he's going to Bigfoot festivals. He's hanging out. He's having fun. Mm-hmm. And he's got a big stone Bigfoot in his front yard.
So the
whole thing.
We're getting people out of the closet for Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's hard. It's once you realize, especially the older generation. Both Greg and that guy were in the older generation.
Yeah, for sure.
You got made fun of, or worse. But anyway, sorry. Continue. It's your show.
No, it's all good. No, I was thinking, you know, as you guys were talking about meeting people that don't want to be there, or kind of have like they're nervous, maybe sometimes because of what they know. When I was, I mean, I think Jay, you were at Encounter Quest, right?
Yes.
And there was the woman there, and it escapes me her name, the pilot from the TikTok.
Alex Dietrich.
Yeah, so Alex Dietrich, I wanted so bad to talk to her. It was really busy, so it was hard to get away. But eventually, sort of towards the end of the day, you know, she had like lines of people waiting to talk to her.
Yeah.
But I finally got a hold of her, sort of separate from everybody else. It was just the two of us. And, you know, I know the story and I know the background. And so I asked her some questions. And I got to tell you, I got goosebumps because I could tell that what she was telling me and the things she had to say, you know, it impacted her, right? Like she was a little bit worried about what she saw. I don't know if worried is the right word, but
bothered.
She didn't understand it. And I could tell that that wasn't, you know, that was genuine. You know, I could just feel that coming from her. You know, she's trying to sort of figure out what's going on. And I think being at that conference was part of that for her. I wasn't able to hear her talk, but I thought that was really impressive to spend some time with her and talk to her one-on-one. It was really cool.
We had some friends that heard her talk, and they said similar things. It's just because that was her first public thing ever.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So they kind of said the same thing. It's like you could tell. I don't know if bothered's the right word.
Unsettled, maybe.
Yeah, it's still
unsettled.
Like,
yeah,
like she Jeff also said, still had a lot of questions.
She also felt like she couldn't say like get in certain topics. Like she was there for a goal, like to figure out kind of what's going on, say a certain thing, but she didn't want to speculate at all. She was made it very apparent that she, or made a very good point to not speculate on anything.
Well,
it was just
as
what
a person
she saw.
That's been on many NDAs and still is on NDAs.
Right. You could tell
there's rules.
Right.
Exactly.
You can't like. That's kind of I haven't talked about it in the show forever, but like we were just talking about off air before Jeff got in here about that. I think this is my last year without NDAs. Mm-hmm. Like I call my parent company before. Yeah, I haven't worked for them in years, but technically I can still get called for state and federal court cases with stuff work I did and stuff like that.
Right.
So, and NDAs are scary. Like they make sure you know they're scary because if you go against them, it's really bad.
Yeah.
It's just it. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, they have so many laws. Like, prison's the best thing that's going to happen to you.
Hmm.
It's just going to prison. But I think I got you off topic. It was my fault. But what made you want to start doing the maps?
You know, I had a friend who requested that I make a map. It was for the Maryland map. That was the first map I did. And so, you know, we did research, and that was kind of like the starting point. And I saw how popular it was. And I said, you know, I should do more of these. I mean, I used to do maps just for my kids for birthday parties. I would do like a map to hunt for little treats and things for the kids. So it's always something that I've been able to do. But that's what really spun off from that, from the Maryland map. And I just, you know, people kept everywhere I went. People were like, oh, are you going to do one for our state? Are you going to do one for our state? And so I sort of went that way. And it's sort of like going outwards from Maryland. So Maryland, Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, I've got some information. I'm working on North Carolina, and I've got, I'm starting to think about maps for other countries. There's some countries
really?
That I'm interested in. Yeah. So, you know, who knows where we'll go with it. But I'm excited, and I've got lots of stuff in the works right now. So there'll be things coming out.
And yeah. I have to say, I'm very honored you asked us about the Ohio map. It was a very nice feeling, just so you know.
I mean, you guys are my Ohio connection.
There we go.
Because I did, like, you're like, hey, you know, blah, 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 Ohio cryptids and paranormal. And I think in, like, 30 minutes, I sent you a list of, like, just off the top of my head, of, like, 150-ish things. But, you know, you put, I don't know how many you do. Was it, like, 20-ish on the map? Because you do illustrated art with each thing.
Yeah, I can usually fit about anywhere from 17 to 20, 22, somewhere around there. They're fairly detailed illustrations that I do around mm-hmm. the border of the map. And then they coincide with letters inside the map that show the actual locations. But usually about that many fit on the map before it gets to be too busy. So I'll go for all of the main sort of the big cryptids and folklore stories. And that'll usually cover a state. There are some, I mean, you know, there's so many. If you dig deep, there's probably over 100 in every state. But I try to stick with, like, the main ones, the big ones, or the unique ones that are different from what you see, you know, anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. You know, you did miss a really, really unique one on the Ohio map.
Here we go.
All right. It's just chaffed my biscuits. It's just...
Ooh.
Now I'm a little drunk, so language is going to fly. No, it's I've been picking on you because
your biscuits.
In the message, I'm like, the one you must include, now that you've asked, is the Ohio Horned Serpents.
Oh.
And the only one that was secondhand, I mean, I'm looking at it like, huh, interesting.
I'm going to get you a special copy. I'll pencil that in for you. You know, I looked at it, and I know you sent me that message. I dove really deep, and I couldn't find...
There's not a lot.
I couldn't...
So...
I wanted... If I'm going to illustrate it, I want some kind of description to go off.
You should have called me.
Or else it's not going to... Yeah, I failed you.
No, I'm just picking on you. They have a soft spot in my heart. So, what a cool thing from the 1800s is they showed up on a lot of shipping logs for captains running cargo vessels up and down the Ohio River.
Uh-huh.
And they talked about, so for everybody at home, and most people, listeners know, but Jeff, you may not know, do you know alligators are native all the way up to Ohio?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so what would happen is, before we dammed the Ohio River and the Mississippi Rivers, they would swim up. Most time what we'd have is the biggest alligators would come super far north during the summer months, and they can brewmate. So like our Toledo Zoo, Columbus Zoo, they leave their alligators out all winter. They hibernate them. It's not hibernation. They do their version of it themselves.
Uh-huh.
They're comfortable in Ohio. They're completely comfortable. When we dam the rivers, they stop coming to Ohio. The old ones died, and, you know, no new ones could come up. So the Ohio Horned Serpents in these old journals are talked about in the same way alligators, bears, and buffalo were. So native animals to the Ohio River Valley. They weren't talked about cryptids or, you know, weird paranormal things. There was even one, the famous story we talk about in the show a lot, was three Ohio horned serpents caused a shipping delay in, like, right by Cincinnati because they were about 60 to 80 feet long. They had big, long faces with three. They called them horns, but they were much more like bumps in the illustrations. It's like a bumped head, and they had three bumps, and they were kept swimming back and forth across the channel. So the ship stopped and had to wait for them to stop doing whatever this behavior was they were doing. And so we had a whole bunch of these captain logs that were writing about them. Then the Industrial Revolution kicked off and they all disappeared.
Mm.
So the Ohio River got extremely polluted very quickly. And many, many, many animals, fish, everything disappeared. So we think they were just one of those animals. So that's why they're kind of near and dear to my heart, because they kind of match a lot of the animals I used to work with, you know, dealing with pollution and water and stuff like that. I believe they're real, because when you look at these old, like, I'm talking 1700s, 1800s captain journals, would just be like, three Ohio horned serpents seen off Port Bow near Port Smith, Ohio.
That'd be pretty
cool.
And
that was it. like, you know, they weren't talking, like, it wasn't a big fanciful thing. They weren't, like, it was so common. And then once they started dumping all this, all these coal chemicals in the Ohio River.
Chemicals, yeah.
They stopped being
poison
there.
The river.
So I,
well, I'll tell you what I'll tell you what I'll do for you to make up for that, missing cryptid in the map. I'll do an illustration specifically of just that creature for you, and I'll do the boats. We'll talk about it, and we'll do something.
Melt in my heart
just for that.
You got to make Justin the captain of the boat. That's seeing it.
I can do it. What? I can do it.
I would love it. It's melting my heart because it just, I don't know. We're Ohio people, you know, me and Jay are Ohio guys, and it's just,
yeah.
That's one that's just, there's, like you said, you looked into it, and there's not really a lot there. We were like, it was like Library of Congress stuff to even find what I just told you about. So it's just, like, they disappeared in like 18, I think our last one we really talked about was like 1860.
You got a painting of one on your wall up there.
That's the White River Monster.
Oh,
Arkansas.
Darn it. That one always confused me.
No, so yeah, I think they disappeared like 1860s was like the last one. So they weren't around. Okay. And with aquatic species, we talk about it a lot. Like, they're the first to go. They don't make it a long time after pollution start flowing. But yeah, so you said the Snally's one, you know, but what are some of the favorites you've done of your art pieces? You have tons and they're all amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I've done probably close to 100 at this point. I like the weird ones, the ones that people don't talk about much. The two-headed turtle, the giant turtle,
Oga?
The Aguba.
Uga.
I like that one. Gosh, I'm trying to think. There's so many. The Butler gargoyle is kind of weird and neat. I love them all, you know, like as I'm doing these things, I fall in love with each cryptid, you know, cause I'm researching it, learning the stories. I think it's so neat. And I get into it and I'm like, oh, this is the best one yet. And then I move on to the next one. I'm like, oh, that one was okay, but this one is the best. So it's always like what I'm working on is my favorite. Right now I'm actually doing, I have a commissioned work to do, a piece. It's more folklore, but it's called Wizard Clip, and it's a town in West Virginia with a really interesting paranormal story. And that's really fascinating to me right now. I've touched on it before. It's in my West Virginia map, but I'm revisiting it, digging deeper and finding out more information on that. So like right now, that's what's really exciting to me. But, you know, in a week or two, it'll be the next thing.
Do you want to share with, I don't know the Wizard Clip.
I don't know anything about Wizard Clip.
So I'll do a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep and there's a lot of it. But in the late 1700s, there was a family out in West Virginia. They owned a farm, and they were fairly well off. And back then, you know, travelers would come through and it wouldn't be unheard of to knock on somebody's door and say, hey, I need to stay here for the night. Like you wouldn't do that today. But back then it was sort of the polite thing to do. And you would accept, you take them in as boarding, you know, for a week or whatever they were there for. So this guy was coming through town and he stopped there, an Irish man, and he stopped there and he got really sick and he's like, I think I'm going to die. Will you please get a Catholic priest? And the owner of the farm, the gentleman, I don't remember what he was, but he was Christian, but he wasn't Catholic and he refused to get the Catholic priest. You know, this guy wanted his last rites. The owner, the gentleman refused it. The Irishman died and they buried him unceremoniously. You know, he didn't get his last rites or any of that stuff, which is, especially back then, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
You know, that was like really insulting. Very rare would you do that. Even if you were a different religion, you would give them whatever their, you know, their last wishes were. So anyways, then the farm was haunted. All kinds of strange things happened. Cattle would get sick and die. There were like chickens or geese, their heads would like get cut off. There was snipping sounds like clipping. And there would be moon shaped, there would be like these paranormal moon shaped cutouts in people's hats or clothes or blankets. Anyone that came to visit, they'd put their hat down and then as they leave, they pick it up and they'd have these moon shaped cutouts. So that's where the clipping, the Wizard Clip came from. And then I guess they tried to get their local pastor to exercise whatever was going on. He couldn't do it. He said, you have to call the Catholic priest to come. A Catholic priest came down from Pennsylvania, did some stuff. Things went away. They came back a little bit. I mean, there's a lot going on, and it took place over, I mean, really the full story was decades. Hmm. Eventually, the man converted to Catholicism. He gave his land. His will was to give his land to the church, and it's still there today. There's a park there where they take care of people who have, you know, things going on like addiction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've been there. It's a really neat town. It's an old historic town, and it's all built around this legend. It's really fascinating. There's a lot of different books on it. And there's some historic writing on it. I mean, from the people who visited the home, from the priests who went there. So it's really fascinating. So that's it kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It sounds like one that would, it's piqued my interest. And actually, I've heard of that in some way,
it's like
shape, or form.
Poltergeist type.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
For
yeah.
a town though.
Yep.
That's neat. You mentioned the Christian burials, especially in that day. We just did an episode about Ned the Alien, as when recording this, not when this comes out. But Ned the Alien was an alien that crashed in Aurora, Texas in 1891?
97.
Okay. And they gave him a Christian burial.
Oh, interesting.
It was a UFO crash, hit the judge's house and windmill and destroyed his flower bed. The town was like, ah, that sucks. The little guy's dead. And then they buried him and gave him a full Christian burial.
Well, so, I bet they didn't get any poltergeist activity after.
No, because they gave him a Christian burial.
They passed the test.
Yeah. That guy didn't get a burial.
You gotta give him, you know, like, you can't just unceremoniously throw him in the ground. You gotta do something.
Chuck him in a ditch outside.
River. Yeah, throw him in the river. Or the trash can, the dumpster.
Oh, gosh, a lot of river ones.
Yeah.
A lot of river bodies, believe me.
I bet. I don't want to know.
I'm blessed. I worked 5 years doing that survey stuff. Never once found a human.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
our
surprising,
other teams
actually.
Around us always found people.
Oh, and you never did.
I told you the one time I thought I did and ended up being a big dead fish.
Right, yeah.
Because we were in a little creek and just smelled rot. You know how like mammals have a smell when they're rotting?
Yeah.
And we're like, should we just leave? No, because this could be somebody's kid, husband, wife, you know. So we went and looked and it was, thank God, an 80-pound carp.
That's so gross.
Guys,
too.
I gotta tell you, I found a dead body.
Oh.
Yeah. In college, I used to work at a golf course, you know, like cutting the greens and fairways and stuff. And then in the fall, we would, you know, you weren't cutting. So we would sort of clean up all the debris, like leaves and old, you know, branches that fell and stuff. And they had like, we had a wood chipper and we were putting all these branches through the wood chipper. It was really loud. Had my protective earmuffs on. And one of the guys like motioned me over. He's like, oh, come over here. We're in the woods doing all this. He's like, come over here. And the guy was a big hunter. It was like deer season. And I see him standing next to like a lump on the ground. And I'm thinking, you know, he found a deer. Big deal. You know, you see him on the side of the road everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, why is he so excited? So I'm not really thinking. I'm walking over. And then I get down there and I look down and it was a man. The golf course I worked at was at a retirement retirement community. And so this guy, I guess he had been walking. He was taking a hike through the woods and had a heart attack or something. And he fell there and he had been there for several weeks.
Oh no.
Weeks.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So that happened.
Oh, wow.
But
you definitely don't want to find that.
No.
No, at least you wasn't murdered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Carlo,
what's that?
At least he wasn't murdered.
Right, right. It was natural.
Yeah, I mean,
but still kind of creepy.
No, it's
yeah. That
we
no
had
one.
Our neighbor across the street died, and he was an older gentleman. He died in one of our bad snowstorms, and he always had neighbors that offered to shovel the drive. We had like 8 kids, so we always offered like go shovel his drive, and he liked doing it. He would shovel to his garage, and he'd shovel his little drive. Each section is like 6 feet. You know what I mean? It's not like it was a ton, but he was in his 80s. He died in a snowstorm shoveling. And our other neighbor found him like 4 weeks later.
Was he under the snow?
He was under the snow. He's frozen. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
He looked like, you know, he just dropped.
Yeah.
But it was one of our bad winters.
Yeah.
But so bad.
Jeez.
The people that lived there, said their names.
Yeah.
They moved out immediately.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I mean, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I worked in a long-term care facility or whatever. Every once in a while, you go in and give somebody their medication, and you're like, hey, Sue.
Yeah.
Sue.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, but, you know, that's different than, like, my boss had found 2 lost kids and, I think, 3 murdered people.
Oh, man.
That's not great.
No.
No.
Rivers. No. When you're on the river and they just call you like, hey, be on the lookout for this.
So we've got, you know, the Ohio horned serpent in the river. We got dead bodies in the river. Let's find something else in the river we can talk about that's not so doom and gloom.
You also did. I love your Christmas ones, too. Let's get back up.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Krampus.
So I have Krampus, which is it's actually popular year-round.
Yeah.
All year-round, no matter what, you know, like, middle of the summer, people buy as many of them as they do at Christmas time. So that's a really big seller, my Krampus one. And then I did one last year, which is Belsnickel, which is similar to Krampus, although he's not connected with the Christian Christmas. He's a wild man that came out during the winter solstice, and he would go to the towns and rattle their windows, pound on their door. And if you invited him in, he had a sack and he would throw out treats, you know, like candies and stuff on the floor. And if the children were greedy and they grabbed them real quick, he would whip you with these sticks.
Test.
But if you shared and you were calm about it, you would just go on to the next house. And I did this. It's specific to parts of the Pennsylvania Dutch in Pennsylvania. They were the ones that brought it over and this tradition. And I spoke to some people who still do it. There's still a few towns left where they'll get like one of the parents in the neighborhood. They'll dress up and they'll come out and rattle on your windows and pound on your door so that the kids can experience that. And I think that's really fun.
Have you ever heard of Krampusnacht in Indiana?
Krampusnacht, yeah. They have it all over.
It was the big ones in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Where they have the running of the Krampus.
Okay.
I kid you not. It's like,
check that out.
6,000 Krampus, whatever. We were going to go last year.
But
it was so bad. So a group had pushed against it, saying it was demonic. And anybody that actually knows the legends knows what it's about. Like, right. It is, like you said, it's a Christian thing. Like old Germanic, you know, European Christian thing. But it's a Christian thing. It's not demonic. It's about, you know, teaching your kids good morals.
Right, yeah.
And so they canceled it. So me and Jay were like, all right, we're not going. And then they brought it back like 3 weeks later when it was too late.
Yeah. It was just
I get why they did it, you know, because it's been going on for like 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, it was just.
So you wear stickers. right? And the sticker says, like, basically, it's green, yellow, red. Red's no participation. Like, the Krampuses won't mess with you. Like, you don't want anything to do with it. You're just there to whatever. Yellow is, like, light participation. Like, they're going to hit you with a couple sticks or whatever, the light brush or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know.
Red is, or green is the full participation. Like, they're going to throw you in the sack and run down the street with you. There's, like, 4,000 or 5,000 Krampuses.
Wow.
It seems like such a fun thing. The whole town kind of gets behind it.
Except for those.
Yeah. Except for eight. Never mind. I was going to say something. Now I don't want to say it.
Yeah, better not.
But eight people.
Yeah.
That are really against it for some ungodly reason. And I mean that literally.
But I'm
Yeah, but I'm have you ever heard one I think you like would be great in your art style? What's the rapping horse head?
The rapping
horse? Oh, yeah. It's like a skeleton head.
Yeah, horse? So she's a horse. She comes to your door. She's a horse. She comes to your door and knocks. And when you open the door, it's not rapping in the traditional sense, but it's like a rhyme battle. Uh-huh. And this, if you lose, she gets to come in and have beer and cheese. And then if you lose, or if she loses, she gives you gifts.
What folklore is this derived from?
You
know what?
It's actually because you missed every Christmas special we did with Nick and Jake from America's Scary Land.
Did I?
Yes, because we did the same thing every year, where I would be her, and they would be the people, and we'd have a rhyme battle and see who won.
Nice.
That's a fun one.
I have seen it. You know, I do a Krampusnacht in York, Pennsylvania every year, and they do like a parade. Everybody dresses up, and I saw the first time I did that a few years back, I saw several people in that costume. I was like, what is that? And then people told me about the tradition. I think that's really neat. And I will probably do an illustration this year of that. I think that'd be fun.
Chris? Yeah, no, Jay's going to look up what it's called. Because it's not La Llorona, because that's the Mexican weeping woman. But it's like that. It's like a double L.
Okay.
Is it Si Juanaba?
Show me the picture.
I don't know. That's the first thing that popped up.
Maybe rapping horse for Christmas.
Oh, that's not what you told me to type in. You said horse head demon lady.
Oh no, rapping horse Christmas.
That's a little different.
Usually all white, right? Like
yeah, she's like an all white. And it's not a scary. It Mary, looks scary, but it's not supposed to be a scary thing.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but Mary Lloyd.
Yeah, Mary Lloyd. It's Mary Lloyd. I know it's not spelled Lloyd.
Right. Okay.
But it is Mary Lloyd.
Okay. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and they rap or the rhyme battle.
Right,
you know, rap back and forth. No, so sorry, we're bad. You know, you listen to the show. We're bad with off-topic things. It's what we do.
It said it was first. The custom first was recorded in 1800. 1800.
Well, they didn't have paper before.
Wait, what?
That's a joke. Everybody home. Their papers are 10,000 years. No, but it's fun.
Yeah,
bunch of drunk dads wearing a dead horse's head. Be like, I'm gonna rap Bill's kids. Rhyme battles,
yeah.
To see if I get this beer and cheese.
That. Yeah.
I would I could
do that this year. I'm going to draw that one.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
We should do that again, like
Star Tradition?
Yeah. But it's us against like the horse.
I think it should be us with the corn head on. And be like, we come wrap you for your corn whiskey.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
No. But you said before we asked you about it, you know, you may or may not have a may or may not paranormal encounter of some kind we're going to ask you about.
Yeah, I've had a few. There's one that happened at my house. I live in a town basically on the outskirts of Antietam, the battlefield, the Civil War battlefield of Antietam. And that was the bloodiest single day in military history in the United States. So lots of casualties. Don't quote me on this, but I think it was somewhere around 22,000 casualties in one day. So you can imagine if there's some kind of like, you know, ghostly energy, it might be in this area. And my town, being on the outskirts, a lot of the houses, the older houses and churches were used as hospitals, field hospitals. And a lot of soldiers, of course, didn't make it. So keep that in mind. So I live in this town. Directly across from my house. My house is newer. It was built in 1951. But directly across the street is a stone wall and a farm that is most, I think for sure, pre-Civil War. So it was there during the Civil War. And directly across from me, the house is sort of to the left, but directly across is sort of like the garden of the farm, where they plant like these beautiful flowers and stuff. So imagine, you know, I look out my window. I have windows on my door. I'm looking at the stone wall, and then behind that, this beautiful garden that goes really far back, and then woods behind that. And my sister was visiting from, she lives in Philadelphia, and she came down to visit. And we're getting ready, you know, we had a long day. We're getting ready to go to bed, and she's staying in the family room, which is right where that front door is. She's going to sleep on the couch there. And we're talking. It's dark. And I'm sort of talking to her and looking out the window at the same time. And in the pitch blackness, I see directly across from me this light, this glowing light. And there's nothing there. There's no house there. So I'm thinking, okay, somebody's out there with a lantern or a flashlight looking for something. So I get out my binoculars, and I'm trying to focus on this light, right? And you know how, like, when you're focusing with binoculars, in and out, the focus will change. It'll get blurry. It'll get sharper. Mm-hmm. But no matter what I'm doing, this thing that's floating, this light that's floating there, it won't focus. It's far one way and the other with binoculars. I just can't get it to focus. So I kind of open the door. I walk out, stand on my front porch. It's still there. You know, I'm talking to my sister. She's easily scared, my older sister. And I'm telling her, hey, you know, like, I think this might be, what do you think? This could be like a spirit or something across the way. So we watched it for a good 5 or 10 minutes. It didn't really move much, but I'm telling you, there's nothing there. You know, eventually I think the light went out. I can't really remember, but we were so exhausted. We went to bed. I think she said she didn't sleep the whole night. She was terrified. You know, the next morning we looked out there. I took my binoculars out to see if like maybe somebody left a lantern. I mean, there's nothing there. It's just garden and woods. And where I thought it was not all the way back in the woods. It was like in that garden area. So I like to think that maybe it was some kind of a spirit of, you know, a Civil War soldier or something, you know, who knows? Or maybe some kind of alien thing was hanging out there. But I definitely saw something. I don't know what it was.
Awesome.
Like an orb or something, maybe.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
like
an orb.
Yeah.
Yep. But it was bright. I mean, it was a sort of like a bluish color.
Huh.
And, you know, like not like something where you see and you're not really sure it's there. I mean, it was there. You could see it. And it didn't really move that much. It stayed where it was until it went out.
So when you say like lantern or whatever, did it look like a flame?
It looked like a round or maybe an ovalish light.
Okay.
You know?
So it can sound like the will of the wisp, you know what I mean? Like they're right. They're generally blue. When you said blue, that's what I jumped to, because almost you know, Australia, Europe, and even some African legends, and I'm using the will of the wisp as a conversional term,
catch all
for that thing, is like a blue light. So a lot of times, depending on who or where you talk to, kind of deal, they're good, bad, and different.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of like fishing lures, like from Anglerfish. So they gave you the show for 5-6 minutes, and then you didn't bite, and they turned off.
Yeah,
I don't know though. No, like you said, with the soldier, like the battlefields, especially like when you're talking about, is literally so bloody and destructive.
There's trauma there. It was trauma-stricken, Civil War, right? Scar.
Civil War. Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's not, you know, Civil War is just, as far as America is concerned, you know, brothers fighting brothers, cousins fighting cousins, you know, mom, or is even sometimes son and father killing each other, which we have documented. It was not only a bloody battle, but there's something different with the emotional level when you start talking about killing kin.
Yeah.
You know, for something like that. I don't know what that causes, but it does something to the earth, right? It has to.
Yeah.
Not saying we humans are as special as some people think. I think we are, but
I do too.
But that has to do something, that much energy. What do you think?
Gettysburg. I mean, there's multiple examples of that phenomena, but I mean, it's just.
I feel like it almost sears something like searing a steak. It sears it into the land. You mm-hmm. know, this energy or something. I mean, I can tell you that when I tour Antietam itself or the areas around it. I don't know. I mean, it could just be my imagination, but there's definitely like this vibe that you get, you know, like there's a memory of something there. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever experienced, I've gone through like places like where it's woods, where they just feel like creepy or heavy, or it's just an odd feeling. But I don't think I'm one that's like too sensitive to that stuff that I know of, but I've never seen like an orb or a light like that that almost puts on a show for you. I've never quite experienced that yet. Hoping one day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could have been. There's so many things it could have been, right?
Right, yeah.
Whatever it was kind of neat. And I've had some other experiences too, but nothing with cryptids. I would love to see, you know, Bigfoot or like a... I don't know, like an ancient pterodactyl or something right. like
or
that.
Or a snallygaster.
Or a snallygaster.
Maybe one of its eggs. Kind
of what's that? Or the eggs?
Yeah, a snallygaster egg. Just having one of them would be good enough. I would enjoy that too. The only thing I've seen too is like a white thing. I may have seen the white thing, I think. We've talked about it on here.
You were also abducted.
But other than that, I also haven't seen, but I love all this stuff and... You know, yeah. I'm a believer in it. I believe, like you said earlier, you talk to somebody that has experienced something and you can just tell, you know, when they're being genuine, as opposed to somebody that's just likes telling stories.
Right. And, you know, to a certain extent, the stories are just as great anyways. Like,
absolutely.
Sometimes I think to myself, does it even matter if this random cryptid, somebody made up the story? Well, it's a super awesome story and I love it. I get to illustrate it. People get to hear the story. So at what point does it matter if it's real? I mean, it kind of is because somebody created something, if they did. You know, like to me, I just love the stories, whether they're real or not. They're great. And I feel like each one deserves to be like a Steven Spielberg movie, you know? They're really fun. I love them.
I think the Hodag company's working on, last time we talked to them, they're working on that Hodag horror movie, right?
Yeah.
No, they are.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
And, you know, but the Hodag is one, okay. It's some people's favorite episode we've ever done, some people's least favorite episode we've ever done.
It's not good.
It was our drunkest episode we ever done.
What's the only one we've done like that? Like that?
That intoxicated? Yes.
Like that.
Hodag. No, but like you're saying, I think. That's kind of walking the line between, I guess my words I kind of use is folklore versus cryptids.
Yeah.
And like you said, I guess it depends on the person, whether that matters or not.
Like, yeah, it doesn't, for what I do, the part that I enjoy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the stories. You know, I think that's like a subsect called like lumberjack lore, right?
Lumberjack lore, yep.
But it's still a cool story, and I love the fact that it's part of American history. It's not just the story, but the people that were there. What were they doing? What was going on in history? And then, like you guys know, if you go to these events that we go to, you know, the best part is interacting with other people and telling these stories 100%. and hearing things. And everybody's in such a good mood, and that's why I love those stories, because it brings people together. Gives you new ideas, and they're fun. They're really cool.
Yeah,
and it helps when you got a good artist around that can bring these things to life.
I tell you what, I've had so many people asking about the squonk in the bathroom.
Yeah,
because it's a cool one with the squonks being hunted and stuff like that.
Make sure they know it's a squonk that Jeff drew.
It is. He's got his signature on it. But
no, I just mean just so everyone listening knows.
Oh no, it's Star Cruiser Studios squonk being hunted by two hunters
hanging in the bathroom.
Yeah. It's hanging.
See it every day.
That's part of that lore. Like when I do my illustrations, I don't like to just do the creature. I want to do the story, as much of it in the illustration of the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, that's sort of shows the lumberjack lore of it, that they hunt them, and if you see it, it turns to water, and you see the puddles of the footprints that they would track. And so that's more the story behind it and not just the creature. And I try to do that with all of them. I try to give you little tidbits of information in the illustrations that tell a little bit about the story.
I have a lot of your art. We have a lot of your art.
Yeah, I mean,
and I know this is the only room that's lacking in it because he made it into the rest of the house.
Yeah, I know. It's everywhere else.
Because just the sizes of the pieces.
Oh, I know. They're big.
Yeah, but it's great. But they're not just the cryptic. It's scenes, right? It's like you're saying, it's like a snapshot of whatever that lore is. Like you said, with the Squonk, the Snally. The Snally is right by his still, which everybody hasn't listened to our Snallygaster episode. You know, that's what killed one of the ones that were rampaging around the country when Teddy Roosevelt was going to kill it. Is it? Some newspaper said the still's fumes killed it. Some said it ate so much mash that it died. Which, if anybody didn't know, that was a common thing for black bears at the time, is they literally find this fermented the old mash, and they'd sit there and they'd eat and eat and eat because it tastes good. It's sugary, right?
Right.
So it tastes good. So you eat it and they end up dying from it. From alcohol poisoning and stuff like that.
Because
their bodies are built towards to be attracted to sugars because sugars are super rare in nature.
Right, yeah.
So they were eating it and stuff. So depending on what story, but you see all of those play out. You know, the Van Meter Visitor up on the, you know, fighting these guys up there. And I love your Van Meter Visitor too, which is much more
like, yeah, he's climbing up insect-like on a telephone pole. He's climbing up on a telephone pole. He's across from the bank. And the gentleman is there with the shotgun. And so those things are in the story.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know for a fact that my Van Meter Visitor print made it into the hands of the person who owns that bank currently from that story.
Oh, so no the bank way.
So the building that's in that drawing that I did, the person who owns that has the print, which I think is great.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that is something you just can't buy. I mean, you know, it's... We've talked about it, you know, on our side of this kind of stuff of reflections and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, we've kind of danced around it tonight, but doing this stuff and knowing the people we know now.
It's crazy.
Like, I grew up watching, well, you know, Lyle and Ken. And I was just talking to Ken at Monster Fest and Lyle at Monster Fest. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun with Lyle and Ron Moorhead. We've had so much fun. You know, if you would have asked me 4 years ago, was I ever going to be hanging out with Ron Moorhead at 2 a.m. talking about Bigfoot.
right.
I'd be like, no.
But there you are.
And they're all great. Everybody's great. And that's, you know, kind of
everybody's so nice. Such good people in this community, you know?
100% that, I mean, you can count your fingers the people that have not been fun to be around.
Yeah, it's not much.
Yeah. And which is great when you start doing the big festivals and you start hanging out and doing these things as people. You know, it doesn't matter, vendor, a patron, a speaker.
It's always a high energy, positive energy, good time.
Like, Kenny Irish, you know, all these people just it's always been super nice when we first started speaking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was just so positive. You know, it's a scary thing when you're going on stage and sharing it with Ron Moorhead and Lyle Black.
Right,
you know,
or introducing people. Like,
it's a scary thing, and they're all just like, yeah, you know, we're going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're super cool. You know, Cryptids of the Corn, man, those guys, those are the ones that I really enjoy the most. When I see them in a show, I know it's going to be fun.
I've heard there are a couple drunk dorks.
Yeah.
Dorks probably an accurate word.
No, I got two more questions for you. We're at right about at the hour mark. I got two more questions for you as an artist.
Yeah.
What has been your most difficult to draw, you know, make the art of cryptid?
Oof, let me think on that.
We can talk while you're thinking. What are you going to guess?
What's
up? And I'm not saying a whole map or nothing like that. You know, I mean like an individual. Right. Because, you know, a map takes a ton of work.
I know what it is.
Oh,
well, wait, before you go, let's guess. What do you think it was?
Yeah. For him to draw?
Yeah.
Or, like, that would be in general?
The most difficult? You know, what the one he did was the most difficult?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I have a good guess.
I'm just going to go with the Frogman, maybe, because we have that on the shirt, and I like that one a lot.
I love the Frogman art. We even have, and we even mentioned, well, I don't have the Frogman shadow box, but I have the alien abduction shadow box.
The shadow box,
which is getting moved, because when we got our new table, it covered it up.
Oh, okay.
So it's getting moved. But anyways, you said Frogman?
Yeah.
It's Frogman. It's awesome with the wand and, you know, the symbols. I'm going to guess the indescribable Octoman because it's indescribable.
Ah. That's clever.
Not just because, yeah, I love your Octoman, but, you know, it's one of those ones just, it's a blob with tentacles.
Right, yeah.
So what is it, Jeff?
Dude, you got me, man. I didn't think you'd guess it. That was it.
Are you kidding? He's a cryptid expert.
I'm not even joking. So, and I'll tell you why. So tentacles are really hard to draw to look natural.
Oh, man.
You know, and I'm really, it took a long time to get it the way I wanted it to look. I'm pretty happy with the way it looks on the map. But the other trick is when you have another artist who's done a really good job, you don't want to copy.
Right.
You want to do your own version and be unique. And that was really tricky because Easton Hawk, I don't know if you know him.
Love yeah. Easton.
We have
Easton
a couple
and
of his
wife
prints.
Are great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he did the indescribable Octoman. Yep. And I think he did a fantastic job. And I'm like, man, I got to do it different. You know, it's got to be good, but it's got to be my version. So I don't want to use any of the stuff that he did. I want to do it different. So that was a challenge too. You know, the tentacles and then the fact that I didn't want to repeat any of the things that he had. And a lot of the things that he had were great, great ideas. So it was really hard not to try to steal any of that stuff.
Right.
But I didn't. I went in a different direction.
And I love it. I love the indescribable Octoman you did for the map.
Thank you. Thank
because
you.
It's like we've all joked about indescribable. But we did, in my opinion, it's probably one of my, you know, I have a lot of favorite episodes. We've done around 300 public and around 200 private episodes with Patreon. So it's hard to pick out, you know, favorites. That's one of my more memorable episodes. That we've
yeah.
done.
Is it because I figured out what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. No, it's because it had so many sightings and it was just, everybody was just had a hard time because it was just a blob.
Yeah.
And the tentacle thing wasn't like octopus tentacle, you know, it was just like phalanges hanging off this
right.
creature.
Yeah.
And then it died in Kentucky and then they probably ate it because it's Kentucky. Love you, Kentucky.
We're all
my
from
wife's
Kentucky.
From there. Rachel's from there.
We're from Kentucky. I mean,
technically, yes. The Anglins are from Kentucky. The
everyone
Wolvers
from
are
this
from
town.
Kentucky.
Everyone.
Ada is from Kentucky. We all moved from Kentucky to get away from Kentucky, and then we all settled in the same place.
Yeah, absolutely.
It probably tasted great. It's like calamari, you know?
Yeah. I don't think so. I'm going to venture. I'm going to shake my magic eight ball. It says answers point to not. No, but yeah, I guessed it right. But like you said, you know, it's hard. Easton's is great, too. I actually think that's the one I have. It's in the other room, is the Octoman from Easton.
Mm.
I have two of Easton's prints. And it's the Octoman something else.
We have the Kappa. I bought the Kappa off.
You have the Kappa. I'm saying in this house.
Oh, gotcha.
I have two of Easton's. I can't remember what other cryptid he did that I fell in love with. But the Octoman, you know, another Ohio one, Ohio, Kentucky one. And I think you nailed it because you have this giant, essentially, you know, with a couple eyes on top, the big mouth, but the tentacles.
Yeah.
You know, because that's when the guys, the semi-truck driver, seeing it cross in front of the road in front of him. That's basically all he could describe was it was like a mound of flesh with some tentacles and what he thought were their eyes.
And he said it was really big. Like that was what I stuck
really
with,
big.
That story of the truck driver. He said it was like maybe 12 or 13 feet tall. It was huge compared to the truck. So I was like, oh, I got to make it look like it's massive. You know, like it's got some weight to it. So I really worked to get it, you know, to be sort of like the size of a hippo, you know, like just massive and sort of blubbery and with the eyes on top and the vertical mouth. I thought that was a fun touch.
I loved it.
All thank right. you.
I got one more question, and then if you got any questions, you can ask them. But I had two artist questions.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite one you've ever done, or what was one you may want to revisit if you have one?
Oof. I'll tell you what. I want to revisit all of them. It's sort of like, it's like, the fun and difficult part of being an artist is like once you finish it, you see it and you're like, oh, I want to change that. I want to do that different, you know? So like, shoot, I'll redo them all. And I may at some point, you know, I've already done, there's several that I've done multiple versions of. I think the Frogman, I've done like four or five versions. So yeah, I mean, I'm down to redo them all. If there's one, I don't know if there's one that I didn't like doing.
That's
some
good.
Some of them are challenging. But like I said, I do this stuff because I love it so much. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell. I'll tell everybody at home right now. You can tell you have the passion for it. Because like you said, you've already done 100 of them.
Yeah.
And you either get bored with it or you love it.
I love it.
I think in this podcast stuff, I think that's a lot of podcast problem. Is that when you do 100 episodes or 200 episodes or 300 episodes, you either get bored with it or you're still just as in love with it as you were.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So far, I think it's just as fun.
Well, you do. Yeah, it is for you because you get to sit there and listen and have fun.
Act like an idiot.
Act. Yes. Do you have any questions for Jeff?
Well, I mean, I just want to say, I really appreciate the art, but I appreciate the camaraderie we all, when we get together at events that we get to have together. Just want to put that out there. That is very enjoyable, and that's what makes all these events fun going to. But
absolutely, man.
And right. It's the best part. And like I used to draw, or I went to school, I went to art school for a couple years. And so I love all seeing all the art at the festivals and stuff. And I just absolutely love it. So when I see your booth pop up at one, I'm always excited to see the new piece or something because they're all good. They're all good.
Sweet.
Not a dog Thank in the you. Bunch.
Huh?
Not a dog in the bunch.
That's right. What?
That's okay. That's from my grandpa that's dead.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I guess both my grandpas are dead.
I don't know if I've heard that saying.
Not a dog in the bunch?
Yeah.
It's probably not a great saying now that I think about it.
Okay.
But I'm not even going to explain what it means, actually.
Let's not.
You know what?
Not a dog in the bunch.
You know what? I take it back. It's just something my grandpa used to say. Now that I think about it.
I understand what it means.
Probably
now.
Not good.
I understand what it means. Yeah.
I apologize.
All very good paintings. Or drawings.
Well, the art's great. Thanks. Yeah, it's prints. Like, you sell prints. Do you ever sell your originals?
I have sold a few, but I hold on to most of them. I think maybe someday I will. So maybe I'll sell you the ones that I do of you. On the river with the horned snake.
Yeah. Horned serpent, but yes.
Horned serpent, thank you, yeah.
No, but yeah, no, I'd buy them.
I know you would.
I just have a few original pieces of art. I love art. I love collecting art. I'm not a great artist in any way, shape, or form. My grandma was an awarded artist. She was in a wheelchair. So what she would do is paint, you know, to kind of escape things. She oil painted a lot. I mean, tons and tons. She did several different forms, though, but... I have a lot of her oil paints, or oil paintings. So every room in this house has art, and now it's become a lot of it's cryptid art.
Yeah.
It's either 94%.
It's either cryptid art or a fish on the wall.
No, there's a lot of fish hanging up on the walls, too. It's you come to my house, you know my personality.
Very quickly.
Very fast. Because there's a bowfin hanging up next to a Bigfoot painting.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not joking. That's
all
the living room.
But it all fits together.
Yeah, so... Anything else for Jeff?
Oh, no, this has been great. I very much enjoyed the stories. We're going to have to do this again, I think.
I think we should have him back on for Witch Cut. Was that what it was called?
Oh, Wizard Clips.
Wizard Clips.
Or Wizard Clip.
Yeah. I think we'll do a Patreon exclusive with Jeff.
Okay.
On Wizard Clip.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that. Love to do it.
Well, you know, we'll make it a day of it and just have some fun with it. But before we... Sorry, before we wrap it up, please go back through your socials again. And for everybody at home, no, I put all the links always in the description for these guys. If you please support them, these guys are our friends. They're great. We love them to death. You've heard me already say, we have probably 500 pieces of his art hanging up between our two houses. So support him if you can.
Cool. So, yeah, so I have a website where you can buy my prints. And other artwork, it's starcruiserstudios.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at starcruiserstudios. I just want to thank you guys for having me on. It's always so much fun and a blast to see you guys and hang out and talk. I love it.
Yeah.
We love really, you too.
Yeah.
We love you. Even though you said it, we love you.
You. So. I love you guys.
Yeah.
And I love doing,
you love the
doing this stuff.
Right. Love the experience of us all together.
That's like a girlfriend that It's like not really into you. I love the experience of you.
Of you. I would have said, all right. That sounds you
did
pretty
that.
Good.
No, you did that from some of your stories.
Me?
Yeah. All right. So, Jeff, you know how we like to end it, but for all of these people at home that may not know, basically what we're going to do, we're going to count down from three, and then we'll all scream bye into the microphones. The outro will play. You ready?
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.